I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
Wow.
The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything.
This, of course, is Johnny Cash. Song's Hurt, right?
My sweetest.
Yes, originally
friend.
By Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails, yeah.
Everyone I know goes away.
Cash did a Soundgarden cover on this album, too, right?
Rusty Cage.
Rusty Cage.
That's great.
Yeah. This is Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler with the DJ Matt Butler.
I will let you down.
Man, that's great stuff.
I will make you hurt.
No kidding. KP Karen texted in, this one always hits me hard. Yeah, I'm with you. That song is powerful. Johnny Cash is powerful. We try to find interesting things to bring to your world through Cairo Radio, Cairo Nights, 97.3 Cairo FM. And we were looking for stories today. Matt and I came across a sad story about a mother. And I'm make sure to get this right. Yeah, 45 years old, who was on a flight with her family. You can see where this is going. On a flight from Hong Kong to the UK. After living in Hong Kong, she was moving home with her family. And the story says a few hours into the flight, this woman fell into a breathless sleep and passed away. Couldn't be resuscitated on a flight from Hong Kong to the UK with her family there. They tried everything to revive this woman during the flight. And she had no luck. She just fell asleep and then stopped breathing, and they couldn't resuscitate her. And they had to keep flying. The whole plane, I mean, just, can you imagine being on the flight? Someone, you know, I've never been on a flight that's even had anything close to an emergency. We've had turbulence. I've flown, I don't know, dozens of times, if not maybe over 100 times in my life. I've been very lucky, did a little bit of traveling, job-related mostly, but some recreation with family. I've never had any kind of incident on a flight like that, like anything. I've never had anybody had too much to drink and have to be tied to their seat. I'd love to see that once. You know, some whack job who wants to, you know, I don't know, just overdo it and thinks he owns a plane because he's had a few of the free or even at $5 a bottle, Jack and Cokes or whatever. Horrible, horrible story. And for her family, her children, she was only 45 years old, flying with her children back home to relocate their family. She's originally a resident of the UK, this woman. And I'm trying to be respectful and not tell the story in a macabre way or, you know, or be gross about it. Or, you know, Helen Rhodes was her name, 45 years of age. And halfway into the flight, Helen passed away in her sleep. And I think, you know, as I think about how terrible a story this is and how what a terrible experience for her family especially, but for even for everybody on the plane, very unpleasant place to be. And you're forced to fly on for hours and hours. You know, but it was, you know, they say in your sleep is one of the most peaceful ways to go. You know, just quietly drifting away and saying goodbye. And then we came across another story of a man in Florida. 35-year-old man who was on the beach in Florida, in Hutchinson Island, Florida. And he was recording a sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. Matt, you ever watch the sun come up over the ocean?
I have. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. It can be rejuvenating. It can be soul enriching. You know, I was born on the East Coast, spent quite a few summers of my young adult life, late teenage young adult life in Ocean City, Maryland, and have seen, excuse me, a little choked up there. I've literally seen hundreds of sunrises. And this gentleman, 35 years old, was watching a sunrise and taping it, leaning against a sand dune in Hutchinson Island, Florida, and the sand dune collapsed and came down on top of him and buried him alive, and he perished. Buried under a sand dune. What a horrible, horrible, that scene. Now, passing in your sleep while a terrible story and a life cut short, being just buried by a sand dune and suffocating, essentially, crushed. Horrible, horrible way to go.
Are you? Do you ever watch shows that depict violence and murder and have a visceral effect physically yourself over what you're seeing on the screen?
I have never had a tolerance for those kind of shows. I know some folks really get a charge out of them. And when I was a teenager, I think it was called Faces of Death. There was that was like the bar. You know, now they're just there's like 1,000 movies about, you know, ways to die.
Because this story reminds me of in one season of the TV series Fargo, when they buried someone alive. And the effect, like, that must be one of the worst ways to go, because what's coming into your lungs and your feet, that to me, viscerally, I have a reaction to that. That sounds bad.
I've never had a tolerance for horror movies, even. You know, I'm not a big thrill ride guy. I don't like roller coasters. I'm a wimp, a wuss. I'm a bleeding heart liberal. You all know that by now. Come on. But I'm not. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I'm wrong about a lot of things. Be the first to admit that. Happy to learn. Happy to grow up and learn stuff, even at this age. I'm happy to learn new things. When I'm wrong, I'll admit it. When I'm shown to be wrong, I appreciate you set me straight. I really do. I ask the question, you know, how would you like to go? You know, it's just such a, it's a weird thing to think about. We'll get some great texts from folks. You know, if I was terminal, this is Ben. I'd like to punch a great white shark in the mouth right before he eats me. Just punch a great white shark. If I knew I was going to go in terminal, that's epic.
I love that. As Tom Petty said, go down swinging.
Go down swinging. Of course, Ben offered plan B, or wrestle a croc on crystal meth. Now, who's on meth? You or the croc? Because if you're on crystal meth, and I make jokes, but you know, you might have a fighting chance against a croc, but if it's a croc on crystal meth, and being in South Florida, where most
I was going to say, if it's in Florida, you're pretty evenly matched.
Pretty good chance the croc's the one on meth if it's down in Florida, right?
Or bath salts.
Yeah, bath salts. Ugh. Oh. A texter from the 360, it happened to my daughter on her way to Hawaii. Guy next to her died from a heart attack, and they continued to the Big Island. They had no choice. Awful.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you have a vacation?
That must be the weirdest thing, because there is literally nothing that can be done about that. You are trapped in that situation, and that's your flight to Hawaii. My goodness, casts a pall on the whole project.
I don't mean to laugh, but Matt clarified he wants the croc on meth.
Oh,
good for
okay.
You, Matt. You really
he's really
he said you how do you want to go?
That's
not,
epic.
Not you know, do you want to beat an alligator, because that's how you'd have to beat an alligator. It's a fair question, Matt. You're right. Oh, this texter, and I want to respectfully read this. I'd like to go in the rapture, being brought up to the Lord.
I can understand how, if that's what you believe, that's a comforting idea.
Absolutely.
Painlessly taken, to be reunited with those you love.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not a very religious person. I have a Catholic faith that I really don't, you know, I'm not religiously faithful to. So I guess, you know, my thought on religion, and this will be insulting to some people, and I apologize, has always been, I just need about 45 seconds at the end to apologize and make peace.
Right.
You know, if I go off a bridge, I want it to be a tall bridge, so I'll have the full 45. If I fall out of a building, I want it to be a tall building. So I have the full 45 seconds to apologize and make my peace. You know, that's what it's going to take for me. I guess if I had to go, I don't, snorting hooker off a cocaine's butt, or snorting cocaine off a hooker's butt. I saw that come in. I couldn't even read that. It was so good. Snorting cocaine. John Entwistle. Yes, it was John Entwistle.
Whatever order you
Thank
take
you.
It in, that's great.
Thank you. Oh, I'd forgotten, and I'm a Who fan. I didn't know that song, No Road Romance, and I'd forgotten how the Great Ox went. Living the ultimate rock star life.
Oh, at that point, your fear of anything is so far removed. If you see it coming, it's sort of like, well, you know, if you're, not to borrow another TV analogy, but if you're Walter White and you know you have terminal cancer, you might as well go out on top of the game.
It's an excellent point, Matt. And a texter reminds us, you know, going in your sleep on an airplane is probably one of the best ways you can go. It's terrible for the lady's family, but, you know, plus it's a shorter commute to heaven because you're halfway to the stars.
Fair point.
You know?
Fair point.
Oh, I don't know. I guess in my sleep, of old age, of course, you know. My wife's just made a you know, she wants me to go first. And that's, you know, would you like to survive past your spouse? Or because, you know, most people like, I wouldn't want to live without you. You know, I'd want to go first. My wife wants me to go first.
My father,
I'm heavily insured.
My father did. And he's still alive. My mother passed over 10 years ago. And initially, he did not want to live at all. He wanted to go with her. And he honestly, candidly, he prayed that that would happen. He seems a little happier now. He lives on the place they retired in the country. It's a beautiful place, and he's found some contentment in his life, but it's never the same. But he has found some joy in the day-to-day.
I'm glad of that. You know, my grandparents passed within weeks of each other, and I was always, you know, we were, of course, heartbroken by that. They were relatively young. You know, for me, of course, they were my grandparents, so they were already older folks. But they went within weeks of each other because they just were so in love. She couldn't imagine being without him.
Yeah.
She died of a broken heart.
Literally.
Literally.
And that's a real thing, too. I mean, it's a cliche to some people, but scientifically, it's a real thing because when you lose somebody that you've spent your entire life with, it can literally have a deteriorating effect on your health. It's very severe.
Yeah. And a texter writes in, you guys are depressing the hell out of me, and I apologize. Thanks for indulging us, folks. Thanks for sharing that somber moment with us. Let's lighten the mood a little bit.
I did want to mention how the famed British DJ John... This is sort of humorous, even though it's in the same vein. The famed British DJ John Peel, he started out in pirate radio. He came to the U.S. He faked his way into U.S. radio as a Beatles expert in Dallas. Went back to the U.K., had a great career. He broke everything from Zeppelin to Nirvana to the White Stripes. Like, he was there at every stage of rock and alternative music development. And he said once in an interview, people talk about him and passing away. When he passes away, his legacy is done. He said, I'm going to die speeding down the motorway, trying to read very poor handwriting on some band's demo cassette that they've sent me. And that I think is the greatest new thing I've ever heard. Then I'm going to die, and people are going to say, oh, John, he died the way he would have wanted to go. And Peel said, I can assure you, it is not. That is not how I want to go. Speeding down the motorway, trying to read the label on a cassette tape. For the younger people listening, cassette tapes were a thing you used to have that had music on it, and it was a physical thing that you held in your hand, and you put it in a player. Old guy stuff.
It made music portable, as opposed to record players, which was the only we had before, A-track and then cassette tapes. I do want to read this story, just kind of lift the mood a little bit. You know, Alex Jones, the whack job conspiracist guy, the Sandy Hook denier, the guy who just was fined over almost $50 million, $48 million, because he was just abusively horrible to the families who lost their children in a school shooting. Well, first off, I don't know if it's the best attorney I've ever heard of or the worst attorney I've ever heard of, because Alex Jones's attorney accidentally sent his entire cell phone. All the contents of his cell phone, all the text messages from his cell phone to the prosecution by accident. I think maybe it was a lawyer with a soul who knew just what a piece of garbage Mr. Jones was and accidentally, air quotes, sent his phone to the prosecutor. Well, you know, that helped prove that Alex Jones had been committing perjury, lying on the stand about the horrible things he was saying and doing, you know, to the Sandy Hook families. But it was uncovered today that there was also a naked picture of Alex Jones' wife on his phone, in his texts. And that's not bad. I mean, you know, to each his own. Folks who send, you know, enticing shots of each other to their partner, or, you know, maybe you're just trolling folks or just looking for love in all the wrong places. Who knows? But Alex Jones sent one to Roger Stone. I mean, this, I'm not making this up, and this isn't speculation or fake news. It's a fact. Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist, multi-millionaire, you know, head of the InfoWars empire, texted a naked picture of his wife to Roger Stone. Roger Stone, of course, the Trump advisor, who was at one time a Nixon advisor, has a tattoo of Nixon on the back, Nixon's whole face on his back. He's the Mr. Dirty Tricks, you know, dirty politics. That's Roger Stone's bread and butter. And he's notoriously, from what I've heard, Roger Stone and his wife are swingers, which is just makes me want to throw up a little bit just thinking about it. But that's you know, again, different strokes for different folks.
Dirty politics in more ways than
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, you know, but, you know, Alex Jones texted a naked picture of his wife to Roger Stone. I guess I was trying to cheer people up. I don't know how that was supposed to happen.
Why? What possible motivation could somebody in Alex Jones's position have? Well, is he very proud of his wife?
Maybe he was bragging.
Maybe
that's so. Excellent. Maybe he was bragging. You know, maybe he was making an offering. I don't know.
But remember, Alex Jones is supposed to be defending good old American families against the lizard people. What is he doing playing in those waters?
I don't know. I don't know. Wrestling Crocs on meth, I think. Yeah, and Roger Stone's another one. You know, I guess those two guys, you know, are saving the world from each other. You know, I hope those three do hook up. Roger Stone and Alex Jones and his wife.
It's the dream throuple.
Yeah, keep them out of innocent, decent people's lives. They're saving the world from each other.
But is the meth in the water in Florida turning the crocodiles gay too, or just the frogs?
I don't know. I don't know about Florida. Hey, our next president might be from Florida. We never know.
Oh boy,
I don't know how things are going to
work out. Florida man in the White House.
Yeah, you never know. Cairo Nights. Got a bunch more stuff we want to tell you about. I'm Spike O'Neill, Matt Butler on the board. We'll be right back after these, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of this. Matt, this scares me.
The song or something deeper?
The relation of this song to the story we're about to talk about. This is Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler on the board, picking all the music. How do you feel about robotics and robotics replacing human workers? It's already been happening in so many places. Auto plants. Most auto plants these days are completely robotic. Lisa pointed out to me during the break that I was talking about this story that Amazon, the fulfillment centers in Amazon, have robots running all over the place.
I bet.
And the way Amazon's reputation is, with the way they treat their employees, from what I've heard so many times, it's probably better that robotics are doing this rather than the incredibly demanding work schedule. Because I mean, it's great to have Amazon and get stuff when you want it. But the work schedule and the requirements of their employees can be brutal.
And you would hope, and you know, we talk about that Star Trek future. A lot of the great sci-fi and even, you know, things like the Jetsons, it was all about how at some point all of these technological advances are going to make life easier and better across the board for everybody.
Right.
And people are going to have less of these things that tax them and take high physical toll on their bodies and their mental health.
Right.
And the sad part for me is it doesn't seem like that's happening because of greed, but it's a great ideal.
What do you mean it's not? What about greed making it happen? Explain that. I'm not quite following what you're...
Okay, so in my perspective, it seems like we are advancing rapidly in technology. We have so many things, but people are still working more than ever. Productivity is at a high.
Okay.
So at some point, it seems like these things aren't, the economic and societal benefit is not as you might say, trickling down
working
people.
I get what you're saying on trickling down. It's the benefits aren't trickling down.
Exactly.
Like the, not just the money isn't trickling down. The benefits of robotics and innovation aren't trickling down.
Right.
To the working
when
man.
So many people work more for less.
Right. Good point. So there's a labor shortage, obviously, not just in America, but globally. You know, I think the 3.5 unemployment after the last jobs report. And a lot of folks will say, yeah, most folks have crappy jobs and more than one crappy job trying to make ends meet, which, you know, furthers your point about it not trickling down monetarily or benefit-wise to the workforce. In Japan, there's such a shortage of labor that grocery stores have turned to robotics to stock their shelves. 300 grocery stores in Japan have implemented this new robotic system. It's called the TX Scara, S-C-A-R-A. I'm not sure how it works. Family Mart is the largest grocery chain in Japan with 16,000 stores. They inked a deal with a company called Telexistence to test out the technology that has robotic shelf stocking robots go through the store after hours at night and put bottles on shelves, cans on shelves, packages on shelves. These robots can do the equivalent of 1,000 items a day, the equivalent of about 3 hours of work for the average human worker. But there are already so many jobs where robots have taken the place of humans. And in the case of like Detroit in the auto industry, they eliminated jobs, good paying union jobs for the workforce that used to build the American auto industries. And that's not a good thing. You still have to have employment for all these folks. That's why there's so much flight out of Detroit. You know, Detroit's such a hellhole, if you pardon you know, me borrowing the phrase.
Although, to be fair, parts of Detroit have seen a resurgence in recent years since they cleared out some of those old derelict homes
right.
and kind of shrunk the city almost literally.
Yeah, they did. Had to replan what kind of city it was. Because at one time, Detroit was just a jewel when the American auto industry was just leading the planet, leading the way. When the American auto industry basically built the war machine that saved the planet during World War II. But when robotics came in and all that workforce had to go somewhere else, you know, there was just a vacant city. Oh, I think it's robotics are going to be the answer for a lot of things. I really do. I think problem is at that point we become a service industry focused society. The only jobs available for a lot of folks when technology takes the manufacturing jobs away are robotics. There was a big thing this week about the chip bill passing. Where they're going to spend billions and billions of dollars revamping America's technical high-tech industry infrastructure to make computer chips that are currently being made in China going to be made here in America. And, you know, wherever you feel politically, you got to admit that bringing technology back to America is going to be a good thing. Making America self-sufficient in the computer chip industry.
One might say it's an America first policy.
One might say that, but it's not going to be an employee first policy because those are all going to be robotics. That's so high tech. That's so precise, the precision. I mean, the infrastructure to build the plants that are going to have these chip factories, getting us up to speed so America can be a world leader in chip production and not just, you know, supplying America's need for these computer chips, but maybe even be making so many that we export them to the world. But there won't be a lot of jobs around doing that because of robotics. So while robotics are good, we still have to have industry that people can work at and support a family with that isn't, you know, physically breaking them, that pays enough for them to sustain a family on. I mean, you want to make America great again? Pay a living wage where one family's income can support a family.
So on that point, though, what do you think is the end game here? What do you think happens when there are not enough jobs? Are enough people at a level of, say, technical skill and expertise or even ability to be trained to do those jobs? What happens to all of the people who are now jobless? What do we do?
Well, we retrain these people and we invest in that, but not like, you know, I'm a firm believer in the trades. I'm a firm believer that we should have probably more people eschewing college education and learning a trade, a high skilled trade education. In production, in plumbing, in electrical work, in whatever it may be, concrete forming, you name it, construction, whatever. You know, you see these comedic memes on social media where you know, this is Tim. He went to a Ivy League school. He has $400,000 in student debt. This is John. He became an electrician, was paid to learn as an apprentice. He's here to shut off Tim's electricity because he can't get a job with his degree and can't pay his electric bill. You know, I mean, I'm all for not vilifying physical labor and vilifying the trades. But I'm also for not vilifying education. The whole, you know, the elite, the Ivy League elite, you know, the coasts are elitists. We're elitists.
You mean like Ted Cruz?
Well, I don't want to point any fingers, but yeah, that's an excellent example. I don't want to point any fingers. You know, and they call educated people elite, but you know, education's a good thing. But so is a physical skill, a trade skill. A highly skilled, highly trained professionals, they make crazy money. Some of the guys I know have the best lives of anybody I know. You know, they have worked in the sheet metal trades as a sheet metal union member or a plumber. You know, I know guys that I disagree with passionately politically, but I love these guys. They are salt of the earth guys. When something happens, they'll come up and help you move furniture. They'll help move your kid when your kid has to move off to college. These are just solid people.
Hard workers.
Hardworking
strong
guys,
family
man.
Guys.
Guys that know how to throw bags of concrete around.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I love these guys. And, you know, robotics can't do all these things. They can do a lot of them. But that's what you do when the robots take jobs away from folks who were in manufacturing, who were in fulfillment at Amazon. You train them for higher education, for medical technology, for high-skilled trade positions. You know, I think investing in education, investing in training is one of the most important things this country can do. Don't just make everybody a server. Don't just make everybody an Amazon delivery guy or a Grubhub delivery guy or a Uber driver or a Lyft driver. These, you know.
Oh, they're looking to automate that, too.
I don't know. Now we're talking about robotic cars and self-driving cars, that kind of stuff. That terrifies me.
Automate trucking. Can you imagine that?
It's going to come eventually. It's inevitable, I think. You know,
that's another hard job.
Speaking of what, trucking, truck driving?
Yeah.
I agree. That's skilled labor. That's in demand, too. You can't find enough truckers in this country.
That's why they'll practically pay you to pay for your education.
Not practically. They will pay to train you, and they'll pay you while you train. There's most trucking companies who are looking for drivers have signing bonuses, huge signing bonuses right now. You know, during the pandemic, everybody was having a hard time. No one was hiring. I was unemployed for a year and a half, and I was trying to find jobs constantly, believe me. But nowadays, if you want to work, there's jobs out there for you. You know, I'm a bleeding heart liberal, but right now, if you're unemployed right now, you're unemployed by choice right now. You know? And that's difficult for me to say because for a long time, I was trying to find a job that would, I couldn't take a job that would pay me less than a living wage. I had a family and a mortgage. You know, we dipped into our savings over the course of unemployment stretch. Because we had to keep our home and it was, you know, keep my family going forward, keep my kid in school, all these things, you know. But luckily I found a job that will keep the wolves away, you know. I like this job. I hope you like that we're here. I hope you let us keep this job and I promise we'll get better. We've been doing this, you know, a week and a half now. And so far so good. I think so. They're not going to have a robot come in here and do this job. This is one job you can't automate.
Well, not to be dystopian, but in music radio, which thankfully we're not doing, there is an AI DJ now.
Oh, when if you've got a music station, you don't need humans. I learned that the hard way.
It can generate DJ breaks. It's amazing.
Yeah, at my last rock radio job, believe me, I know. Automation can come take that job away from you in a heartbeat.
On the bright side, you don't have to sit there and listen to music you hate.
No, I get to listen to music I love. Thank you, Matt. This is the greatest.
There we go.
This is Cairo Radio, Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. Matt's on the board. We're back right after these. We're really glad you're with us tonight. Appreciate it. Have some of the highlights of the text messages, which exploded tonight. Have them for you right after these. We're back!
You sure about that?
You know the story of this song, by the way?
I don't. Enlighten me.
This song is a direct insult to John Lennon.
Really?
From Paul McCartney. John had written a paperback book, and Paul didn't think much of the effort and wrote this song in response. There's a chorus callback background vocal in the song, which is Brother John. This was at the end of the Beatles' run, when those two could barely be in the same room.
This song hits hard too. It's like just the energy in it. I just love this song.
Yeah, the Beatles were a gift, an absolute gift.
And I love that.
Yeah, great, George. Have you ever seen the documentary about George Harrison that I think was who did it? You hear it, Frère Jacques. Yeah,
I hear it.
Martin Scorsese did a two-part documentary about George Harrison, which was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It was always John and Paul were the talented ones. We talked earlier tonight about how writing makes the money in a band. And, of course, John and Paul were the writing, maybe the greatest writing duo of all time. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards comes to mind. But George, when after seeing that documentary by Martin Scorsese, might be my favorite Beatle after watching that. I never thought much of George at all. You know, not that I didn't think of much of him. I just hadn't thought much about George. Anyway, I digress. Cairo Knights, I'm Spike O'Neill. We want to thank you all for being part of the show tonight, for texting in. Had some spirited debate, had some disagreements, had some name calling. We talked it out. We texted it out with folks. A lot of folks that were critical, you know, came around, maybe didn't change any minds, but appreciated the civility of the debate, promised to come back and tell us the next time we screwed up, which we appreciate that too. Texting, let's start back at the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning. There's so many texts tonight. I really appreciate this, guys. Oh, we're talking about Beast Mode early. I said that Marshawn Lynch was, of course, given a DUI or was arrested for drunken driving in Las Vegas this morning. I said that I hoped Marshawn would be okay and would still be able to perform his duties. The Seahawks had just announced they're hiring Marshawn to take care of some special projects for the team. And texters set me straight a little bit. You know, driving under the influence is a serious business and can cause serious tragedy. So let's not give Marshawn a free pass. My point was I don't like folks' lives to be messed up by just one mistake. So let's see. Being a minor, yeah, well, that's the same thing. Well, working from home came up. Tattoo artist says, I can't work from home, but it wouldn't be sanitary. I appreciate that, too. The commute by ferry for 40 years, loved it tirelessly and really don't miss it. Yeah, it's hard to beat retirement in any way, shape, or form. So glad you guys are back on the air. Thank you very much. We mentioned, please give me the artist's name, the writer's name.
Lamont Dozier.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. So many folks are complimentary to the Supremes. Lamont Dozier passed away at 81, 14 number one hits. He was the writer for those songs. Wonderful. We talked about the president's home in Mar-a-Lago being raided, and people reminded me, hey, you know, Clinton's emails, Clinton's this, Clinton's that. You're right. No one should be above the law. There should be an even set of justice for both sides of the aisle. Jenny Durkin's name was bantered about. Very true. Oh, let's see, moving on. We talked about how you'd like to die.
we wanted to
lift the mood a little bit, you know? Some great text came in on that one. I want to punch a shark in the face before he eats me because I'm terminal. That's brilliant, you know? Being raptured up to the Lord at the very end, a wonderful way to go. You know, Matt's done a great job with the music. Lots of comments about the music tonight, Matt. We talked about ways to die with my head held high and my junk in my hand. I cleaned that up, but I appreciate the sentiment. Good for you, sir. A listener shared that their daughter had someone pass away on a flight on the way to Hawaii, and they had to go the rest of the way. Matt mentioned a cassette recorder. Texter Tony from Everett. I've still got my Sony Walkman from 1989. Tony, that's probably worth a lot of money right now. Hang on to that, buddy. Oh, but this has got to be. We talked about automation and robotics. On-job skill training for any age would show companies care. Absolutely, from the 360. Ben from Mercer Island. I just had that one. How about autonomous military weapons? Something about robotics. They just took out the head of Al-Qaeda. Nobody had to break a sweat. Nobody had to be in harm's way. Took a guy out with a drone. That's some robotics. Oh. Used to listen to you and Bob Rivers every day. Glad to hear your voice again. I appreciate that sentiment. People who want to be trained for a job can apply. let me see. And everyone who wants to be trained for a job, people who can own luxuries. I'm not sure I get the gist of that, but I'll read it again and we'll talk about it in the future. We're all done, folks. We appreciate your time here tonight. Matt Butler's on the board. Matt's going to be doing – Kevin's in tomorrow night producing the show, right?
I think Kevin will be joining us tomorrow night.
But Kevin's a metalhead. Might be a little different on the music take tomorrow night, so be warned, people.
Yeah, I'm just fingers crossed my key card works day after.
Nah, you'll be fine, buddy. I really appreciate that. I appreciate all you folks who texted and appreciate your patience with us as we figure out how to do this, how to talk to you, how to respect your point of view and share ours with you. Oh, and again, The Who.
This is one of my favorites.
Yes.
I love this song.
I'm Spike, and that's Matt. This is Tyra Knights. We appreciate you guys. We can play this out long, Matt. Let it go.